The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter number 10, Luke chapter 10, verses 30 and following, Luke 10, 30 and following. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Don't talk about because he cared. Amen. Because he cared. Amen. The Samaritan did what he did because he cared. Amen. When we look at the text, it is interesting that the ethnic makeup here is given to us, and it's not always so, but it's because there is a lesson to be taught. For the Jews viewed the Samaritans as half-breeds. They were hated foreigners. They were seen as half-breeds both physically and spiritually. Matthew 10 and verse 5, Jesus instructs the 12 as he sends them forth. He says to them, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. The Samaritans were a mixed blood race resulting from the intermarriage of Israelites who had been left behind when the people of the northern kingdom were exiled and Gentiles were brought into the land by the Assyrians. Bitter hostility existed between Jews and Samaritans in Jesus' day. It is interesting to note that in John 4, at the well, the woman says to Jesus, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And then again in that same chapter in verse 20, the woman says to Jesus, our fathers worshipped in the mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. They were separated both socially and spiritually. But in spite of the obvious hostility that existed between the Jews and the Samaritans, it was not the priest. It was not the Levite. It was a Samaritan that came to the aid of the man that had a need. Isn't it amazing? Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, we talk about the priest. That's the spiritual leader. We talk about the Levite. Those are the workers in the church. But they were so busy coming from church that they could not see the need that was right before them. And my brothers and sisters, let it never be with you or with any of us that we're so busy with church work that we fail to get involved in the work of the church. That slipped by somebody. Yeah. But in spite of the obvious hostility that existed between the Jews and the Samaritans, the racism, the hatred, the unlikely Samaritan came to the aid of the severely injured Jew. Why did he do it? Because he cared. Say that again. Because he cared. And I hope that the things that you experience in life, that you will respond in a positive way because you care. Sometimes we respond because we want to have that ego grandizement that comes when we do something and we can tell folk we did it. Look what I did, and we publicize it. But when we genuinely care about people, we're willing to do something that will help. The Samaritan was not critical. Ethnicity, amen, was not an issue. You know, sometimes we'll do something for some folk, but we won't do it for others. And the only issue is the ethnicity. Well, I got to tell you, people, we all bleed red. No, somebody didn't get that. We all bleed red. And where there is a need, the Lord has sent us here to be the instruments of help as we bless those who have a need. The matter was not the man's poor judgment. There was not a consideration to the Samaritan. And you know, sometimes because of the things that we do, we get ourselves in trouble. I feel like preaching today. We do dumb. And then we want someone to extricate us out of our mess. And we get mad because folk don't want to do it. But this Samaritan responded to the need of a man who had poor judgment. Poor judgment, you say? Yeah, Jerusalem, the scripture tells us, he went from Jerusalem to Jericho. That was a distance of some 17 miles. And it had a descent from 2,500 feet above sea level to about 800 feet below sea level. It was a road that was rocky. It was desolate. It was terrain which provided a place for robbers to hide. And anyone with good sense would not go alone on that road. But here's a fella who's coming from Jerusalem on his way to Jericho. And he goes alone by himself, which leaves him defenseless. But it's not a matter that he should not have been alone. Because the simple fact is, he had been attacked by robbers. And the Samaritan saw the circumstance and did not say, well, you messed up. You got yourself in it. Now get yourself out. But rather, he aided him because he cared. When we understand, my brothers and sisters, that where there is need and there is opportunity, it becomes your responsibility. Are y'all getting this? Amen. When we see the need and there is the opportunity, it becomes a matter of responsibility. We need to address the problem that God has put us there for that reason. When we start thinking about why he cared, well, number one, I would suggest to you that what the scripture says, when he saw him, he had compassion. When we as the people of God will start interacting with compassion, do you realize that for some of us, we are as mean as a junkyard dog? Now, you need me to explain to you what a junkyard dog is. Those people that have a junkyard, they have a lot of parts. Now, let's call them parts, not junk. They have a lot of parts. And there are those who would go in and relieve them of their parts. And so to make sure that that does not happen, you get a vicious dog and you don't feed him. You let him look at the legs of those that come in as Alpo. No compassion. Just eat him up. Now, it's not really understandable in the world, because folk don't do anything to you. Why are you mean? But why would it happen in the church? Why would we allow meanness, a mean spirit, to come in the church? We serve a God who is all loving. And my brothers and sisters, you would not know love except God first loved us. And because he first loved us, he gave us the capacity to love one another. Now, I quickly will tell you that there are some people who are unlovable. But it does not matter, because he gives us the Holy Spirit that will help us. When we understand compassion, sorrow for the sufferings or the trouble of another, and it is accompanied by an urge to help. Amen. You see the circumstance, and because you... Now, there are two words I want us to take note of. One, sympathy. When we have sympathy, we say, boy, I sure feel sorry for you. But then there's empathy. Empathy says, I feel what you feel. I want to be able to help you in your circumstance. And when we have a heart that is full of compassion, it does not matter who that person is. Does not matter how they got in the condition that they're in. Does not matter that in some instances they shoot themselves in the feet. You know, one of the real dangers. We had a police officer at the post office, and he took out his gun and shot himself in the foot. It's hard to have compassion for folk when they do that, but you have to, because it hurts just as bad. Whether you do it foolishly or whether somebody else shoots you, it still hurts. I wish I had somebody. But we have to understand that it is not ours to try to figure out how they got there. They are there. And there is a need, and the Lord says, I put the need in front of you. You have the opportunity. It is now your responsibility. We need to care. So number one, there has to be compassion. Number two, there has to be caring. Hallelujah. In the text, Jesus asserts that love knows no national boundaries. Amen. There are no boundaries where there is love. Love is not judgmental. Love knows no class distinction. Love will pay the price. Look at the text. The Bible says the man took out 2 pence, which would be 2 days' wages, which would keep a man in an inn for up to 2 months. He's looking out for the need of this man. Part of our problem is, If it costs, I'll do whatever I need to do. It doesn't cost me anything. But when you do something for someone, it ought to cost you something. It ought to cost you at least some effort. You ever notice how, and boy, I do feel like hooping, but I'm trying not to. You ever notice how folk will give stuff away to people? That's it exactly, minister. It's something they don't want. If you want to bless somebody, give them something that you want. Give them something that you enjoy wearing. Give them something that will be a blessing to them. It's easy to give away trash. Amen. You're getting that out of your house. But when you give something to somebody that you enjoy, you are blessing them. And you do it because you care for them. The Bible says that this man went down from Jerusalem and fell among thieves, and they stripped him of his raiment, they wounded him, and left him half dead. And now we look at the church folk. We look at the priest who passes by, and the Bible said, when he saw him, now notice the priest, when he saw him, he didn't even come over and look. He just passed by on the other side. There was no caring, there was no compassion, there was nothing that would draw him to him. He simply was too busy doing church work. I can't become ceremonially unclean. I've got to be sure that I'm ready to go to temple. But God, let me tell you, people, there has to be something that motivates you to bless somebody, and that is because you care. The text says, now you understand the priest, but let's bring it in closer. Let's say deacon, trustee, auxiliary president. Those are the Levites. They are the workers of the church. When he was at the place, he came and he looked on the man and then passed by on the other side. What a condemnation of church folk. I pray to God that no one at Friendship will have a heart that is that hard against another person. You might not know them. They might not have done anything to you or for you. But it's simply because you care as you do something for them. Amen. Now, when we understand that there has to be personal involvement, notice what the man did, the Samaritan. Number one, he goes to him. The scripture said he binds up his wounds. He puts meds on him, pouring in oil and wine, and then he sets him on his own beast and then brought him to an inn and there took care of him. Why did he do it? Don't you know that this man was going somewhere or coming from somewhere? He had business to attend to as well as. But you ever notice how we say, well, you know, I'm just so busy. I got to go to church, and so, you know, I got to do this, and if I had time, I would. Have you ever noticed that if something we want to do, we can make time? It's only when it's something that I'm really not interested in to begin with that I can't seem to find the time to do it. But if it's something I really want to do, Amen. I can make 26 hours in a 24-hour day. Yeah, that's because it's something I want to do. But I really was setting you up because he cared. I mentioned earlier that this is Palm Sunday. I was really wanted to point you to one who cared. One who saw us in our undone condition. One who had no reason to really come and save us. There was nothing about us that said, save me. The Bible said, we, like all men, had gone astray. We had gone each into his own. But there was something about us that he saw in us. And it's simply because he cared. And the Bible said he's sitting at the right hand of authority, says to his father, sacrifices you don't want? Give me a body. And I'll go down and redeem Amos. Because he cared. And the Bible said he allowed himself, rather than simply to appear here on this people planet, he allowed himself to go through a normal birth, 9 months of being carried, born, and then wrapped in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes, it was indicative that that's what you would wrap people when they died. But he came to die. Why? Because he cared. The Bible says when we look at the story of what we call the Easter story, we look at one who cared enough to let them beat him to literally a pulp. His back was beaten, thorns on his brow, pierced in the side, nails in his hands, riveted in his feet. Why did he do it? Because he cared. Because he cared enough for you and for me. And then you think about, they took him and put him on a rugged cross. Now that rugged cross, we sometimes look at a cross as being nice, smooth wood, but that was rough timber. Now if you think about the fact that they had beaten his back till it was cut like a ribbon, but yet he's nailed to that cross, and the only way he could breathe, it was to lift himself up on those nails in his feet. He'd lift himself up to get a breath, and then he'd fall down again. When you think about it, why would he suffer that? Because he cared. He'd raise himself up, get a breath, fall back down. Why did he do it? Because he cared. And there were those that mocked him. And he could have called a legion of angels to swoop down and clean out the whole area. But why didn't he do it? Because he cared. He cared for you and he cared for me. He cared for the fact that we were on our way to hell. And the only way that we could be reconciled to the Father is that the wrath of God had to be poured out on someone. He declared, I will take the punishment. Why did he do it? Because he cared. Amen, amen, amen. Dying on the cross, he's being criticized by those that hung with him. Amen. And they deservedly so. If thou be the Son of God, come down, save yourself and save us. He never said a mumbling word. And you know as well as I know, if someone treats you poorly, you want to rise up and just take and smash them like a bug. Why didn't he do it? Because he cared. He cared enough to ensure that the entirety of the wrath of God was poured out on him. And only when he knew that he had suffered the final dregs of the cup, he said, it is finished. It is finished. Not he's finished. It is finished. The plan of salvation is finished. Why did he do it? Because he cared. He wanted to ensure that you and I would have a right to eternal life. The only way that we could have that right is that the sin problem had to be dealt with. And the Bible says that the wrath of God was poured out in its totality on Jesus. And when you think about all the sins that have been committed from the man Adam up to 2017, this very minute, every sin was judged on Calvary. Why did he do it? Because he cared. He wanted to ensure that both you and I would have the right to eternal life. And then, and you know, when we look at the life of Jesus, Jesus never gave up on Judas, and he never gives up on us. He continuously works for our salvation. Amen. It is the Bible said it is the goodness of God that leads man to repentance. Why is God good to a rebellious people? Because he cares. Why does God keep on giving us another chance? Because he cares. Amen. God could take us out in a snap, but he cares for us. He cares too much for us to leave us where we are. And so he comes to where we are, but he won't leave us there. He knows how to change us. And the Bible said he changes us from grace to grace. When we start thinking about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for me, I don't know whether you can shout or not, but there's something about the goodness of the Lord that ought to make you happy. You ought to think about why we were yet sinners. He died on the cross. Not getting any better, no potential to get better, but yet he died, and he did it because he cared. But more than that, the Bible said because he loved us so much, he tells the disciples in John 14, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. Why? Because I care for you. That where I am, there you may be also. Why? Because he cares. There are some folk I would never want in my neighborhood. But Jesus said, I don't care how bad you've been, I want you where I am. Because the one that's going to be in my neighborhood now is not the same junk car person that used to be in my neighborhood. Isn't it amazing how when God comes into your life, he changes that life. Amen. What you used to do. Amen. You're no longer that. Amen. Folks say, yeah, he used to be so and so. True. Amen. I can't tell you the heaps of degradation that has been heaped upon society. But in the midst of all, we serve a good God. And because God is good. Amen. 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 People might not be good. They might not always do the things that are right, but we still serve a good God. He cares enough about us to ensure that we will spend eternity with him. And I don't know whether that means anything to you or not, but I don't know how we cannot want to have that relationship with him throughout the eternal ages. Amen. That if God is good in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, don't you know he's good all the time? God is a good God. He's worthy to be praised. But I want you to know that he manifests his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. I don't know whether you can see it or not, whether you can see the ungodly. You can see those that are headed away from the Lord, but the grace of God will reach out to them, bring them back to where he is, and give them an eternal life. I don't know whether you can appreciate how good God really is. But somebody said it is the goodness of the Lord. God woke me up this morning. He started me on my way. I don't know whether you can say hallelujah or not, but I want you to know that a hallelujah goes there. Amen. When you were sleeping in the very image of death, the good God touched your feeble frame and your eyelids flickered and you beheld the beauty of a brand new day. Nobody but the Lord could do that for you. But I don't know whether you can say hallelujah, but I want to say hallelujah for you. You might not want to say I'll bless the Lord, but I want to bless the Lord for you because I know what the Lord has done. The scripture says all that he's done because he cares for us. It says roll all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. I don't know whether you can love him like I love him, but the poet said, I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. I don't know that you can praise him or not, but I stopped by to praise him in the friendship sanctuary. I want somebody in the house to know how good God is. He does it because he cares. There are those that will do things for you, but not because they really love you, but because they have a hidden agenda. But God loved us while we were bankrupt, didn't have anything to give to him. Oh, yes, God is a good God, worthy to be praised. Can you praise him in the house? Somebody know what he did for you. He bought you a mighty long way. And somebody hastened to say, Amos, it's not a mighty long way, but the Lord bought us all the way. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, when the enemy rose up against me, they would have swallowed us up quick. But I stopped by to tell you, God is a good God, and he does it because he cares. He cares what you do. He cares about where you are. He cares about how you live. That's why I'm not worried about what comes out of Washington. I'm not worried about what comes out of Austin. I serve a God that cares about me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? I stopped by to tell you that the God that I serve, he walks with me and he talks with me and tells me I am his own. Do you know him? Have you tried him? Can I go old school with you? As the old folks say, he's bread when you're hungry. He's water in dry places. Well, somebody said, don't go old school. Can you become a modern? Well, modern says, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. They know him whom they have trusted, and God is able. Can I go ahead and preach? He's able. He's able to keep that has been committed unto him. Lord, thank you. I'm going through hell and high water, but thank you, sickness in the body. But thank you, because I know if you be for me, everything is all right. You got a plan for my life. Why do you have a plan? Because you care. But have I got a witness here? The folk in Washington, they might not care about me. They want to take away this and take away that. But the God that I serve said, that's all right. If they take it away, I'll give it back and make them give it back fourfold. God knows how to take care of us. Why does he do what he does? Because he cares. Amen. He cares about our ever living. Whether it's in the secular world, he cares. He cares about our spiritual life. He cares. Amen. And when we understand that we serve a God who cares, we can roll all of our cares on him, because he cares. Let me close with, for years, I was a letter carrier, some of you know, and I had this one customer that was really racist, abusive, and so I was telling my superintendent, they were called superintendents then, that's before managers, and the superintendent said to me, well, that's really not my concern. Only people I'm worried about is my wife and my children. So I got the message. We don't serve a God like that. He cares about every area of our lives. Don't you know when I hurt, he hurts. When I suffer, he suffers with me. He wants the best for me. And that's why when I see our young men and they act foolishly, mess up their lives, I don't give up on them. Because Jesus never gave up on any of us. And I said, what our young men need more than anyone abusing them, they need somebody to love them. For many of them really don't know love. They know lust, but they don't know love. Love is unconditional. Love says, I will go with you to the wall. Why did Jesus do what he did? Because he cared. If there's one in the house today, would you come? May we all stand. How do we come?